Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
Pop culture.
love.
And life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Happy New Year. Happy 2025.
Welcome.
Everyone is going to hear that intro again very shortly because, well, Connor, tell the people why.
Well, listen, we recorded an incredible episode with Jujubee, which you're about to hear shortly. I'm not going to tell you the timestamps because I want you to listen to this part first, but this is just a fun little pre-show before we get into the main act. But we wanted to come and bring you a little New Year's greeting, a little extra drama, a little drama plus, as you will, if you will.
Oh my God, a drama plus. In fact, it's a twin talk because, we've been booked. So we haven't had the chance to just get you and I on the pod on the main feed.
There has been so much that's been going on. We're hot off the Golden Globes. We are fresh into the new year in general.
Last night was the Golden Globes, and we need to chat about it. I mean, if I had to rank my favorite awards ceremonies, it would be
Okay.
like Tonys, Oscars, Golden Globes,
Ooh.
Emmys. And then like Grammys, it depends on who's nominated. And then I don't really watch a ton of the other ones, like American Music Awards or VMAs sometimes. It really just depends who's performing.
No, I think I usually do VMAs.
So often by the time we get to the Oscars, it feels like sometimes it's like an open and shut award season. Like everything's decided. Whereas the Golden Globes is the first. I told our friends last night, I don't feel that it's a weather vane of what's to come necessarily, but it's sort of a fun indicator of what could be.
Totally. And Dylan, after last night, I'm feeling extra excited about this award season because I feel like last year things were kind of in the can in a way. Like we knew Davine Joy Randolph was winning for supporting actress. We knew that it was kind of between Oppenheimer and Killers of the Flower Moon, at least by the Golden Globes, because Barbie didn't really win anything except the box office and cinematic achievement. Like, sure, we still had hopes for like Barbie nominations going into Oscars, but this year it truly feels anything could happen. Like, sure, did Wicked only win box office and cinemat, whatever that award is called at the Globes?
Yeah.
Yeah, but does it really matter? Like, it'll probably still get a lot of Oscar nominations. And
Right.
I'm extremely ecstatic about Demi Moore winning.
I was watching on a delay, and so you all had texted that she won first. I was so relieved in that moment because I didn't have to sit through the waiting to hear the
Oh.
name called. Oh my goodness. It was such a joyful moment. She deserves it. You and I have been riding hard for Demi Moore since Charlie's Angels 2, Full Throttle, when she played the fallen angel Madison Lee and had some truly camp moments in that action thriller, but I mean, I view it as a comedy as
It's
well.
everything. It's everything. And it's so funny. After she won that last night, all the gays online posting clips of Madison Lee in her fashions, her moments with the double golden guns, just everything about that performance. I'm like, wow, like all gay people kind of had the same taste growing up, didn't we? Like we
The lingerie with
all,
the fur coat.
yes. Oh my God, when she like licks the side of the gun in that one moment, she's everything.
I don't take orders from a speaker box anymore. I work for myself.
Well done. It's so good.
It's so good.
But her speech was incredible when she won. And I really think she's going to get nominated for an Oscar now. I really didn't have her in my top five for a while.
I feel that you willed it though, because in like the hour before the Globes, you were kind of sending predictions and you were like, y'all, I'm feeling buzz for Demi, which was so exciting. Is Demi or Demi? I like her as Demi.
Demi is
And I like
fun.
Demi Lovato as Demi Lovato.
Okay. I think it's Demi. This is a great question. I feel like
Write
America's finally
in.
going to learn. Yeah,
Yeah, that's
listeners, write
true.
in. Is it Demi? But Demi. Anyway, that category was stacked, though.
Yeah. Who else did you feel like could have had it?
Of course, we all agree. Cynthia Erivo is amazing. And the Globes clearly loved Amelia Perez. So Carlos Sofia Garcon was like another possible win in that category. But I wanted Mikey Madison and Anora. Probably up until last night, I was pulling for Mikey. I was like, I want
Yeah.
Mikey. I want Mikey. This iconic performance, this Star is Born moment. But after Demi's speech, now Demi says, seems wrong when I say it. After Demi's speech,
To me.
after Ms. Moore gave that iconic speech, I'm like, how can we not give it to her? She has been in this business for over 40 years, worked her ass off. All the stories she's able to been able to share. God, she's just amazing.
Yeah, I'm with you. Mikey will have her moment again. And sometimes I think that like there's a burden in winning a big award or of that ilk very young. There's a lot of pressure to have to follow up to later on in your career. And I think that she's going to continue to pick interesting projects. Whereas with Demi, it's, I know I hate that overdue narrative that they often attach to actors who've been in the business for a long time. But in this case, I'm very much for it. In a way, I wasn't for like Brendan Fraser.
Totally. That's such a good comparison. But with Ms. Moore, it's also shocking because of the content of the film and the type of film. It just doesn't seem like the sort that these awards bodies go for, even the Globes.
Yeah, I mean the movie being The Substance, which I remember afterwards I called you and I was like, I think I hated it, but that was my initial reaction. And then I've really in the months since been like, no, it was pretty brilliant what they did with it in shocking ways, the commentary that it was able to sort of establish in the zeitgeist. But another moment that I really loved was Sebastian Stan in his award. He, being a double nominee, kind of coming out of nowhere, the whole there's been a lot of stuff around him this award season with people being afraid to touch The Apprentice because it's that Trump movie. So I
I know,
was
right?
very happy to see him up there.
I didn't even realize he was a double nominee until I saw that he was up for a second category. Wouldn't it kind of have been fun if he won too?
I had that moment where I was like, I kind of want that to happen. I want there to be a double win. The other male acting award, part of me was kind of hoping it would have been Timmy, but another part of me thought, oh, I really hope it's Daniel Craig. I haven't seen The Brutalist, so it's no shade to Adrien Brody or that movie. Has anyone seen this movie yet who doesn't live in New York or go to film festivals?
The answer is no. I mean,
That's
Adrien
what's tough
Brody's
about
obviously
that.
amazing, but for sure, I know Daniel Craig was so great. I feel like his momentum really burned out too.
Yeah.
How can we not talk about supporting actress? Which I hate how the Globes does two split categories for the leading performances and then just smushes them all for supporting.
That
Super
was
weird
odd.
considering a lot of the supporting ones were already leading performances that they category frauded down. So it's like, wait, why didn't they just? I don't know. It's all just so icky to me. Zoe Saldana and Kieran Culkin, who won the supporting acting awards, those are leading performances in those movies, which obviously, whatever, it's just part of it now at this point. But actually, no,
Right.
we shouldn't stop talking about it because it's pretty freaking weird. Considering Selena Gomez and Isabella Rossellini were actually giving supporting performances in those movies,
Yeah.
I was a little surprised Ariana Grande didn't win.
I know. A part of me really wanted her to. It just would have felt very validating. I think for her, the nomination for the Oscar will be the win in this situation and
And
hopefully
maybe
mean that
she'll
she's
still
here to
win.
stay. Yet you never know. Like a lot of the Golden Globe winners don't translate over, so
I don't know
we'll
if a
see.
lot of them will this year. I really am not sure what's going to happen.
Yeah, we were talking about it too. I remember when Taron Egerton won for Rocket Man, or you mentioned Aaron Taylor Johnson for,
It
was it called Nocturnal Animals?
is, and Dylan, I'm always going to mention Aaron Taylor
Well,
Johnson.
yes, your unwavering support of him is well documented. Who knows what'll carry over or not, but with Wicked, I do feel like it did get a nice moment last night. And it's so. You and I are online in different circles, whether it be, theater Twitter, film Twitter, different areas, because this podcast is about theater, pop culture, love, and life, which includes film and television.
Oh,
And
period.
people are so snobby about Wicked, whether it be the Broadway people talking a certain way about it or the film people talking a certain way about it. The consensus is everyone loved it. So why do we have to then poo-poo it when it wins this big award or when people are upset about the amount of press and joy that we've gotten from the last couple of months? It's very confusing. It reminds me how we're kind of our own worst enemy sometimes.
For sure. Yeah, I know. I feel so mixed about it because on some In some ways, I'm like, well, popular films are the ones people see, so why aren't we nominating more stuff from popular films? But then I like kind of hate the Cinematic and Box Office Achievement Award in a way because I'm like, okay, so you're awarding a film for being popular, which isn't being popular already the win? Like, isn't
Right.
making tons of money and being what everyone's talking about all season the win? Do you really need this, like, we made an award for how popular you are, Golden Globe? I don't know. It just feels kind of silly to me.
It's
But
like a Broadway.com Audience Choice Award when they pick like favorite long-running show or something along those lines. Like, what does it really mean? I don't
yeah,
know.
so true.
I don't mind giving an award to something that ultimately doesn't really matter. Like, for example, Barbie didn't, win a bunch of awards last year, and I like that it got that. I don't know. It's who to
It
say?
did
It's
win
awards
for the
gaze.
absolutely incredible original song, What Was I Made For by Billie Eilish and Phineas.
That's true. It still
Remember,
holds
we were
up.
talking about that song the other day. We were like, wait, that song is a gag.
It's such a gag. As far as the song went for this year, I mean, it's funny. You and I are always rooting for musicals, but Emilia Perez to me isn't like a musical that I am obsessed with or love. And there, it obviously comes with its own set of issues. And I was talking to Hunter about it today. Like, he saw like that 20-second clip or whatever that's going around.
Oh
And
yeah.
it is insane. It is absurd. It's foreign. A lot of the language around gender affirming care isn't woke per se in this movie. And so it is divisive. And normally I'd be like, yes, a musical has a chance at winning Best Picture for the first time since Chicago. Or granted, we had that conversation with La La Land, but I don't feel that with Emilia Perez, which is a bummer to me. I will say the movie is fascinating, and I keep wanting to talk to
Totally.
friends about it because it's very strange. I mean, I did say I watched it on November, what was it, 8th or whatever, the day after Election Day, and I was truly in a numb stupor, and I was like, I need to go do something today. Because I can't sit here in my devastation.
I
So.
know. Yeah, that is like so true. I normally would be pulling super hard for a musical to win Best Picture. I really don't think Emilia Perez and all of its wins at the Golden Globes are going to all carry over to the Oscars. I just have a feeling that they won't, other than like maybe Zoe Saldana. And I do think Selena's going to get nominated for supporting actress.
Oh, I completely agree. Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me if Zoe won because, as we talked about with Nick and Sophia on Oscar Wilde, which this is a lot of film chatter right now. I'll
You
always
know,
want to plug our friends Nick and Sophia, who, you know, it's the mission of their podcast to cover the Oscars past and present, and go listen to them because they have way more insightful things than you and I have to say about awards and whatnot when it comes to film. But we've talked about how that featured actress award very often does go to a woman in a musical. Jennifer Hudson, Ariana DeBose, Catherine Zeta-Jones, the list goes on even further back in history than that. So,
Rita Moreno. Wow. Yeah. So it could be Zoe. It could be Ariana. It could be Selena. Now, I did want to hear the rest of Nikki Glaser's popular parody performance she was doing. She was so funny.
amazing house.
So many jokes. She was so fearless. I loved her.
I love just the cadence of her voice, like anytime she's talking. So like I found myself like if I was on my phone coming in from commercial break, I would like immediately snap up and listen.
Yeah.
Whereas like some of the hosts in the past haven't necessarily captivated me as much, especially when it's just like a white dude.
Now, for listeners who are tuning in for the first time because they love Jujubee, this is usually a long-form interview style podcast where we talk to theater artists, and we're getting to that in a second. But I just want to say we also do episodes like this where Dylan and I talk to each other. We are twins, and we talk about, like Dylan said, drama is theater, pop culture, love, life. It's all of this. It's film, it's music, it's the things you see on the stage, the things you see on stage from your television. It's all of that.
It's drag.
It's drag. And we just had season 17 of Drag Race premiere last week. And I don't know about you, Dylan. Actually, I do know about you because we've been talking about this.
And we watch it together.
I am so hyped up for this season in ways I haven't been the last few years. I don't know what it is, but watching that premiere. Okay, well, first of all, we did a draft, a big fantasy Drag Race draft with our friends. So the stakes are high in that way. But
Right.
the premiere itself is so fun. The queens are funny, they are dynamic, they're interesting, they're all kind of different. And
Right.
I feel just like really excited. Like I would totally, at least from episode one, I feel like I would totally go see these queens live, at least most of them.
Yes. I think I said this about the most recent UK season, whereas I felt that a lot of the queens were really original and didn't feel like, because, you know, every time a new season premieres, you think, oh, that queen looks like so and so, or oh, it's giving this queen, or it's giving that queen. I don't feel that this group of queens is necessarily giving anything other than their original and unique personalities so far. So
Yeah.
it's really exciting. And I think that's part of the energy to it. Like, yeah, you can compare them based on regionally where they're from or if their makeup looks similar to other folks. But I mean, Katy Perry being a guest judge was insanely iconic in the best and worst ways at the same time. It was
She's on a different
crazy.
planet now.
The cartoon voice, I can't get over.
Like, were her years as an American Idol judge, like, smushing into some performative behavior that she has to make her feel like she has to be like a meme all the time. Like her face, I mean, it was great TV, don't get me wrong, but her faces, the cracked things she was saying, the way her voice would change, the notes she would give, she was like, give them fantasy, but be real.
Right.
And I probably
I
butchered
will
that, but.
say the group that we watched with were all very compelled by everything Katie had to say. And I think it's because the judging panel is usually pretty uniform in all the things that they're saying.
Yeah.
Even in recent years, Rue and Michelle have kind of said similar things, whereas I think in the past, Michelle would kind of be the, for lack of a better comparison, the Simon Cowell on a panel saying the negative things, where having someone with such an odd and different perspective, I think, was captivating.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, what Rue, Michelle, Carson Ross, even T.S. Madison have had to say in recent years, it all has sort of felt like they're all on the same page, whereas Katie was kind of all over the place.
She was, and they had cut to Rue making different faces at Katie, and we're like, oh, does Rue hate her? It was hilarious. No, it was so good. I loved the premiere. I feel like it's gonna be a good season. And I like that they split the talent shows, but still had all the queens from the season in episode one. Because I feel like sometimes you're like, all right, premiere night, premiere night, premiere night, and you get to it and you're like, half of a premiere. What is the season actually going to look like? So I love that they gave us the best of both worlds there.
Completely agree. I love talking about Drag Race. I love that it's a different form of theater and art being performed. And I love that we got the chance to talk about Drag the Musical with Jujubee, which, if you live in New York, it's currently running at New World Stages. I think Alaska is just about to leave for an Australian tour, and Jimbo, winner of All Stars 8, is stepping in that role. But it is such an incredible show. It features friends of the pod, Nick Adams, Jan Sport, now featuring Adam Pascal, who's also a friend of the pod, and new friend of the pod, Jujubee. So you all are absolutely going to love it. I don't want to spoil anything from the conversation because it is the Jujubee you know and love, the warm, wonderful, funny drag superstar.
Hell yeah. And I just have to say, with Jimbo, who's so different than Alaska, replacing that role, I feel like the possibilities are truly endless in this show. And Nick Adams is giving a star turn. Like Alexis Gilmore is giving. Can't wait for y'all to hear our episode with Jujubee. If you loved hearing Dylan and I just chit chat at our Patreon, patreon.com/thedramapodcast, we have a bonus content platform, which we've lovingly called Drama Plus because it's drama plus extra episodes. And you get added to our Instagram close friends. And it's just $5 a month and it supports the podcast. You're protecting queer art, as we said on Drag Race last season. And
Megami is shaking.
and I'm so gagged, Dylan, that we had Jujubee on our podcast. And now it is time for the world to be welcomed into that conversation.
All right, let's get on with the show.
Press play. Curtain of an hour in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet.
Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
I'm so excited, Dylan. Oh my God.
I know. It's one of those, you know, I don't get too nervous to do the podcast anymore, but today I'm nervous.
But it's like an excited nerves.
Yes, yeah, of course.
But
of
the
course.
Vibes are great.
Vibes are great. And I just want to say, we love the show that this guest is in, Drag the Musical. And so it is such a thrill to be able to actually promote it on our show.
I know. I can't wait. Now, we got to dive in.
Let's,
no time can be wasted today.
I know, but I do want to say one thing. When we saw Drag the Musical afterwards, we saw Jan, we saw Nick, we said, it's a hit. It's a hit.
It's a fucking hit.
And it's been running for a couple of months now, and I am so excited to hear all about it. Our guest today is a professional singer, songwriter, drag performer, makeup artist, comedian, and global phenomenon. Currently starring as the Tigress in Drag the Musical, now playing off-Broadway and New World Stages. Their name is synonymous with the RuPaul's Drag Race franchise, having blazed the trail on the second season, All Stars 1, 5, and UK versus the World. And they made the finale every single time. You'll also recall iconic television appearances on Drag You as a Professor, Dragnificent, Secret Celebrity Drag Race, Queen of the Universe, Dimension 20, and AJ and the Queen. On stage, lucky audiences have seen this diva as Summer Rains in Death Drop in London's West End, as Sister Maria Julie Andrews in Death Drop Back in the Habit, and stateside as Madame in Cinderella at North Shore Music Theater. You'll know this star's vocal talents from both volumes of the EP Good Juju, as well as from hosting all three seasons of the podcast Queen of Hearts. Some people call her Amber, but we call her Jujubee. With that said, please welcome to Drama,
Jujubee!
Hello, it's Amber.
Yeah. Oh my God, what a thrill to hear you say that to my face. Oh my God.
Have y'all seen there was this like footage of scientists unmasking like a mummy, like 1,000-year-old mummy, and you know how they like re like grafted this vocal cord with 3D printers,
Yes.
and the first word was amber. Like somebody actually put the volume, like they put my sound bite to that, and I thought it was the funniest fucking thing. Can I curse on here? Can I curse
Always.
on here? Oh my gosh.
Please
Hell
do.
yeah.
Please do. And you know what? People like to have fun with you, your iconic moments online. I need to ask
Oh,
what you
totally.
think about this online persona editing
Yeah.
you onto every new Drag Race cast promo.
Oh, I'm in MasterChef Brazil, honey. I'm everywhere. I think as somebody who performs, we have the understanding that it's 15 minutes, you know, and I think these fake promos just give me another minute and I love it. I think it's hilarious. I'm in on the joke too.
Yeah.
You know, I have a lot of feelings, but they're all great feelings.
Aw, I love it. I love when a star is in on the joke. Like I saw Ariana Grande was like in on the holding space
Oh
joke.
my gosh, right?
She's laughing with it. And I'm like, that's what I love to see.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. And there's so many crazy things. There's so much drama in this world,
Oh, period.
right?
Oh yeah,
Right? You
we
see how I
know.
did that?
Yeah, love
But
it.
like, let's just have a good time. And that's what we're here for.
And when the inevitable day comes when you do appear on another iteration of Drag Race, we'll be like, is it real? Is it a meme? You're keeping us guessing, Juju.
You know, I'm shocked that I'm not on Dragula yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It'll just be Jujubee with black lipstick.
Right. I have to say, my favorite promo look you did was All Stars 5, that black, sort of like the buttons on the front and
Oh,
the
yes. Thank
purplish
you.
wig.
Yeah, the old lady wig that a lot of people hate, but I like love because I love me a
Fierce.
short wig, girl. I love it.
You looked amazing. Oh my God. Well, listen, we're stoked to have you on the pod, and we like to check in with all of our guests right from the top. We like to ask, are you well?
I'm so well. I'm swell. I'm well. I'm grateful. I'm feeling fantastic. I mean, I'm in the dressing room right now, and we're not called until 1 o'clock today, but I showed up at 11 and everybody here is like, why do you always show up so early? And it's one of those things where I like to get into a zone and a space, and I like quietness at first because believe it or not, it gets really loud when all the queens show up.
Oh my,
Can't even
who's
imagine.
the loudest queen backstage? Who's like causing
Laguna.
the
Laguna Blue. And I know everybody knows Laguna Blue. I'm waiting for her to get on Drag Race and to show the world who she is. She is the mermaid pop princess. I love her to death, but she brings so much light and so much sound.
How long does it take you to get into your makeup for Drag the Musical?
So I give myself 2 hours, but I know I can do it in like 45
Oh,
minutes.
wow.
I just don't, maybe cut that out, or you can keep it in. I just don't like, I don't like people knowing that I could be that fast because they can expect it. But yeah, it's, I would say I give myself like an hour to kind of get into it. I like my time.
It's not like it's quick drag on an episode of Drag Race, you
Well,
know?
sometimes it is, honey. If you've ever seen us in a matinee, it's pretty quick.
So 1 o'clock today. So, but do you have like a put in or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And here's, here, let me tell you this. The put-in is Adam Pascal.
Oh my God.
And I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
Okay. And J. Elaine Marcos, who normally plays three roles, is covering Laguna's role as Tuna.
How fun.
And then our swing, Cameron Mitchell Bell. She's fierce because she has three names,
Oh, yeah.
is going in as Rita Luritz and Gloria and attorney.
Oh,
What's
yeah.
it? Liberty Vandersnatch.
Oh, what a name. Oh, my God. Wait, I think we
Yeah.
might have seen Cameron because we came to like literally the second preview, maybe the third,
Yeah.
where
Yeah.
there was like an emergency put on for one of the performer who ends up with the Joey McIntyre character.
Spoiler,
Yeah.
spoiler, spoiler.
Dixie.
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 Okay, yeah. And
Yeah.
they were
So
fierce.
you saw the second one.
I think so.
Yes. Okay, y'all need to come back and see it because it's actually changed so much. We've gotten more costumes.
Oh. Ooh.
We've gotten more wigs, more costumes. Yeah. So
Okay.
what you thought you saw was already fantastic, But what it is now is glorious. And you got to come back and see it with Adam Pascal, because
Oh my God.
I'm going to let you in on a secret. I saw Adam Pascal when I was 18 on Broadway, and it was my first Broadway show, and he was in Aida, and I bawled my eyes out, and now I get to work with him. It's kind of crazy.
That is so
So crazy.
crazy.
I was obsessed with the Aida cast album when I got it for Christmas one year, just like listening to the
Right.
CD. Never saw him in it, but those songs are stunning.
Oh
Oh
my
my God.
gosh. I can't wait to go up to him and be like, "This is the moment when the gods."
He'll love it. He'll love it. We had him on our show a couple summers ago, and he loves Aida. He thinks it was just done so dirty with the Tonys.
Yes.
It's true. It's true. He's so amazing. I just remember all the promo photos, his chest, like the Egyptian costumes. I mean, it was glamour.
Oh, Daddy Pascal is, I'm ready.
Yeah, I think audiences are going to love him too. And I know that Jimbo is going to be coming in January. I mean, there's some
Yes.
changes.
Okay, when Jimbo comes in, she's going to be freaking wild. I can't wait. I know it's going to be a crazy show and really funny.
Oh yeah.
So I can't wait to see her be Kitty.
So different than
When
Alexa.
does this come out?
Whenever you want.
Okay.
Do you have more gaggy things to
No,
tease?
because I'm actually going on as Kitty on the 18th.
My God. We can wait till after that then to release this. Because I saw on the website that you understudy Kitty, and I
I
was going to ask
do.
if you thought on yet.
Yeah, no, my first time going on is December 18th, and I'm really excited. My put-in's next week, so
Oh my God.
I'm like off book, but it's a little crazy because every time Kitty comes on stage, it's never like one small like phrase. It's an entire monologue. And the way that Alaska's written Kitty is exactly how what I think like the grandeur of Alaska is. So like these words are insane, and it's an SAT test. So I've had to look up some words, but
You'll do well. You'll get in the high 1800s or whatever the score range was on SATs.
Dylan, you really pulled from decades
I know.
ago to.
Be gentle. Not
Oh,
that
is
much.
it 1800?
I think it's higher. I think you can go higher.
With a reading score or something, right? Or oh my God, I can't remember.
I remember
Well.
ACT was like an actual solid 35s and stuff like that, but
Okay. Wait, Jujubee. Okay, so you saw Adam Pascal at 18 in Aida. And we'd like to ask all of our guests when they got into the arts, the theater, as it were. We
Yeah.
have a ring of keys from Fun Home because maybe it was a moment where you were watching something or participating in something and you realized, oh my God, I need to be involved in the performing arts. Do you feel like you can pinpoint a moment that happened for you?
Oh, absolutely. It was Soldier Number One in that was my character name in high school. It was a musical called Lady or the Tiger, and this was back in Fresno, California. And I don't even think I had a line. Maybe I had one line and I can't remember it. But it was my first time on stage, and it felt really nerve-wracking and amazing. But I now identify like being nervous and excitement as the same exact emotion. So it makes sense to me why I love it so much, but that's when I loved it. That's when I fell.
Oh my goodness. And so, okay, I didn't realize that you grew up in California. I always associate you with Boston.
Yeah, no, I was born in Boston, but I was raised in California, and then we moved back to Boston. So it's based, I'm like both coasts, but I identify more as an East Coaster because we walk a little bit faster and we're kind and not nice.
So then after, doing that production, did you do as much theater in the community as possible and try and get your feet wet?
You know what? I didn't do a lot of theater until later on in life, but I played the clarinet. This is really nerdy. I played the clarinet and I learned how to play it in like a week, and they had to set up a new class for me because I learned so quickly. I don't know how to do it anymore, but if you can imagine like this child pushing a huge bass clarinet, that was me.
Oh, not only regular clarinet, but bass clarinet.
Oh, she went from regular to bass in a week.
You needed to be different. I totally
Yeah,
get
well, I wanted
it.
the flute, but that bitch Twee Tran got the last flute the school had, and I'm still thinking about her. And you could probably use her name because there's a million Twee Trans out there. If you're listening, Twee, I'm still mad.
Okay, wait, and so then most people know you for your drag, obviously, as we listed all of your different drag race experiences. How old were you when you first got into drag?
I was
Like, like putting it on.
Somebody put me in it when I was 16, and I hate admitting that because it sounds crazy, but I was at a Halloween party and somebody was like, "Hey, do you want to get in drag?" And I was like, "I have no idea what that is." Sure. And that was my first time, and I didn't start like working drag shows until I was 18.
Did you have like someone who was guiding you, like a mother, as it were?
Yeah, I did. I did. Not initially, but after a few years, somebody named Charisma Geneva Jackson Tay took me under her wing. Yeah, she has a lot of names.
A
She
lot of
has
names.
four.
Earlier we were saying the three names are fierce, but four. Oh my God.
It's pretty fierce. It's fierce to say. Thank God she'll never get famous, because could you imagine signing that name on a playbill?
You have to get like one of those stamps and just like press it down.
Exactly. I just signed Love Juju, and
There you go.
it's
Aww.
easy.
Is there a last name with Jujubee?
No, it's like Cher
Hell yeah.
or
I love that.
Madonna.
Yeah, a one name diva. There's also a power in that for sure. When you were first creating Jujubee, who were your inspirations that were you had in your head of the queen you wanted to be?
Oh, my grandma.
Uh-huh.
And I think you can tell, because Jujubee is totally like older than me. She's been around, but yeah, it's my grandma's really spicy. She's not that like typical grandma that'll make apple pie, or I actually can't even think of a dish that she makes that I like absolutely love. I don't even think she cooks, but she's so fierce. She has tattooed eyebrows.
Oh.
She wears blush, which she calls rouge.
Oh.
So she's that woman, and she always smells so divine. So that's the lady I love.
Which side of the family is she on?
My mother's mother.
Okay. And does your family know all about your draft? I mean, it's kind of hard to avoid
Oh,
at this
yeah.
point.
Oh, let me tell you something. When I visit grandma, she always says, "Put them on the TV." They have it. They have it saved. They've like, I think she still has a DVR. Is that still a thing?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Oh.
Yeah, she's still like in the 2000s in her mind. So like, she puts it on and she'll just have it on. And I think she just randomly watches me. And I think it's really crazy, because she could just FaceTime me and we can talk, but she just likes to see that version.
She's proud, for sure.
Oh, totally. And she tells all my aunties that I'm the most beautiful woman in our family, and she's right.
Now, when you first appeared on season two of RuPaul's Drag Race, was that like an open casting call, or what was the situation?
See, you two are really young, so you don't remember this. You don't
Thank
remember this.
you.
I was 25, and there was a website called RuPaul's Drag Race Casting, and that was literally the website domain. And you went on, and you would submit basically like a photo and a profile, and people would go on and click on your photo to vote. So
Oh.
it was this like voting system where, like, daily it would shift. And I think I got to like number 25. There were hundreds of queens on there, and I was number 25. And I was like, "Oh, I'm never gonna make this. This is crazy." But when I got to number 25, they reached out and they were like, "Hey, could you submit an application?" And I did. And they told me not to say anything. And they told me I made it. And I freaked out. And I told my camp mister. I was like, "I want to tell mister, please let me tell mister." And I remember the phone call. It was crazy. I turned 25, and the next day I got a phone call from a lady called Rose from World of Wonder. And she was so sweet and kind. And I started getting my package together. But things were so different back then, because I just pulled from my closet, you know? I had $87 in my account, so I wasn't thinking about getting anything made, you know. And if you go back and watch season two, we were definitely like, I am the off the rack queen, and I will forever be that. And I'm so glad that I'm that queen, because nobody expects me to be in expensive fashions. So when I wear like custom things, people are like, "Wow, she's trying," you know.
Did your life change a lot after season two?
Totally,
Yeah.
totally. I got my first dose of the world, where I've never expected to be traveling to all the different places, or to meet the different kinds of people and taste different foods. Like, it was life changing, and it's still changing my life. Like, I'm off Broadway now,
Yeah, it's
girls.
crazy. I
You know what I mean?
know.
It's wild. It's like going from being slapped by RuPaul on season two to being off Broadway with Alaska, an actual winner,
Oh.
the only winner in this dressing room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she reminds us.
Oh, I'm sure. We
Oh,
love
yeah.
Drag the Musical so much. Was that just a phone call that Alaska made to you, knowing that because you're known for being an amazing singer as well?
Well, babe, this was absolutely direct casting. Come on.
Period.
Yes.
Offer only.
Well, you know what? I think what was really special was when they approached me about singing for the album.
Right.
I think this was like 4 or 5 years ago. I was like, yeah, let's do this. And when we did that, I didn't think that it was going to go any further. I just thought it was just, okay, this is a concept album. I'll take whatever amount of pay it was, and I want to make more music. It was the beginning of kind of like my music journey, right? But
Sure.
when we started rehearsing in LA a few years ago, I said, wait, this can actually go somewhere. And it just, the ball kept rolling, it kept growing. And I told them, I was like, I need to be the tigress because I was her voice on the album. This is just what it needs to be. And Alaska just looked at me and she said, okay, fine. Like, she wasn't gonna fight me, and I love her for that.
Literally love. And you know what we were talking about after we saw the show was Drag Race brought drag to the world in a bigger scale, but you're not relying on Drag Race at all in Drag the Musical. I mean, we saw the second previous, maybe that's changed a little bit, but I think there was one line that was like, oh, okay, for the people expecting it. But it really seems on its own. And how amazing that we have so much more drag content in the mainstream for people to consume and enjoy. And the show is so funny and so touching. We were both crying.
Crying.
I was not
Yes.
expecting to cry.
Every night for us,
Oh.
like, and it's so unexpected. I think what's really interesting is when people come and see Drag the Musical, they have no idea what to expect. I think people have an understanding that they're going to see us come out and do lip sync numbers, just like one grand drag show, which is great too. But when they sit down and they're watching this story unfold about this child who's discovering himself and about a AFAB queen, which
Yeah.
rarely gets her light, she finally gets this role. And believe me when I say this, I feel like one of the boys, her song is going to be a huge hit among the AFAB queens out there. There's so many roles in this musical that a lot of people can relate to. It's amazing. And like you said, there's one line that touches on Drag Race, and it's the sashay away. And I think it's so funny. And I've heard that a few times.
Yeah.
You know, technically, I didn't hear it the first time.
I was gonna say,
But
yeah.
you know, mama got me together when she called me back a few times and told me to sashay away, and it didn't hurt at all.
I mean, the relationship between you and RuPaul was really beautiful, especially on All Stars 5. There's that one, it's towards the end of the season. In the workroom, the two of you just seem like old friends.
Oh, totally. And it's really funny because I do see Rue as a friend, and I think Rue has this thing about her where she has to be the supermodel, but she's really sweet and she's really down to earth. And I feel like Rue's a big kid who gets to have this career where it doesn't feel like work for her, you know, because she works hard,
Oh, yeah.
like all the time. Like, she's selling perfume and things to the dolls. She's selling mocktails and cocktails, you know, but I think she's a big kid who gets to play dress up and act and be funny.
100%. Wait, speaking of All Stars 5, we've got to tell you, we to this day are still obsessed with the I'm in Love song that y'all
Are you
did.
okay? Me
Oh.
too. Me too. And John Stamos is still daddy.
Oh, he
Yeah.
is still daddy. Now, did you have any other options for who you'd be in love with that you were kind of spitballing, testing out?
Oh no, it's always been John Stamos.
Oh,
It's Full House in your
yeah.
wheelhouse?
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Uncle Jesse, baby. He was so
Uncle,
sexy.
I know I'm only 9 years older than y'all, but y'all are still little babies to me. Maybe
Baby?
it's because
No.
I think as soon as you turn 40, you think everybody who's younger is just a baby. Like a 39-year-old is like, oh, you're a baby.
John Stamos would be good in the accountant role in Drag the
Oh,
Musical.
yeah. John Stamos as Tom Hutchinson would be absolutely wonderful. We should get that like rolling right now because I would love to meet John Stamos. I have
Yeah.
no scenes with Tom. The only scene I can say that I have is we run, the cat house girls run past him as we're trying to get to the cat house as he's after he sings Straight Man, and that's it. But that's, you know, but we share a wall to a dressing room, and they're very thin walls, so we can
Ooh,
hear.
if these walls could talk, baby.
And they do.
I know Laguna's in there, so it's
Honey, honey.
how has it been doing 8 shows a week in New York City?
Mind blowing, I will say. I've always prayed for a consistent schedule, so I'm really grateful for this. But I've never woken up and stretched before or warmed up my voice, and I've been doing that
Yeah.
consistently every single day for 2 months, and it's great for my health. And I feel like I'm intermittent fasting by mistake. It's you know, and I'm on. I have Invisalign now, so that helps me. You know, I can only eat for 2 hours a day, and I spend the entire 2 hours eating.
Do you wear your Invisalign during the performance?
I only wear the bottom ones.
Okay, yeah,
Yeah,
that's fair.
because the top ones create this really lispy sound for me.
Aww.
And I don't, maybe when I go on as Kitty, I'll keep them on because that could be a character choice.
Could be.
But yeah, I spit sometimes with them on.
Aww. Wait, I've got to ask. So now we've got you back in the theater. You obviously did some West End theater, and now you're here in New York.
Yeah.
Are you here to stay?
Yeah.
Is this sort of the path you want to keep going at?
This is gonna be shocking for a lot of people, but theater was my first love.
Yeah.
And theater will forever be my first love. The only reason drag came into my life is because of theater. And you know, I love theater. I was just talking to Jan. I'm pointing this way because Jan sits next to me normally. I was talking to her yesterday about like credit scores, and like I was like, oh my gosh, we need to have a good revolving credit because you never know if you want to take out another loan for a studio apartment in New York City. But that's, you know, that's what I see in my future, and who knows if it's going to happen, but that's really what I want to create for myself because I do love theater, and nobody does theater for the money. So we're hoping other things come in so that we can do more theater.
I see it all for you, honestly, Jujubee. I mean, look at
I
Jinx. She's
hope.
going to be on Broadway this spring. You know, it's again.
Oh,
So.
she is living her dream, and she's phenomenal.
What are some
Or
options like?
phenomenon is a what's that? What's the new thing everybody's saying?
Femininomenon.
That's what she is, femininomenon. Wait, say it again.
Femininomenon.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you take that. That's a tongue twister.
It is.
It
It
is.
is. What are some other like Broadway shows that you love?
Oh my gosh. Well, is this gonna this is well obviously Aida.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I am a child of the Rent era.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I just saw Little Shop
Yeah.
with Sherry Renee Scott. And another thing, I saw her in Adam Pascal and Aida.
All right. Yeah,
So
yeah,
when
yeah.
I saw her, I was like, oh my God, I love you. You're so amazing. She's incredible.
I
And
heard that.
sexy and talented and funny. It's the funny that gets me.
Yeah. Now we just got to get you to see Heather Headley in something and it'll complete the
Oh
Aida.
my gosh.
Was she Aida when you
I would
saw it?
scream. No, I saw a woman named Simone and she was incredible. I
Oh,
think
yeah. Oh,
Heather
yeah.
was out. Yeah, she was incredible. So, you know, I wasn't mad or anything. But yeah, oh my God. I relive like my teenage years when I think back to those shows. I don't really know any new shows. So give me some new shows to
You're
see.
busy, you're in your show now, so it's hard to get out and see other things. But I highly recommend, because I think y'all have Tuesdays dark. I highly recommend Death Becomes Her. We just saw it last night.
Oh,
It's
yes. Oh
fantastic.
my gosh. Yes. I need to go see that. I ha actually have a Death Becomes Her merch box that they sent me.
Ah, influencer.
I mean, I guess, well, Trinity and I did a song called Death Becomes Us, and it was themed after the movie. So they were like, it was like a little nudge, like, hey, here's this little box of goodies. I haven't opened it up yet, but tell them.
Were you the Madeline Ashton role or the Helen Sharp role?
I was Helen, of
Of
course.
course. I was gonna say, I can totally see that with your All Stars 5 promo with in
Yeah,
yeah.
no, like Trinity took care of the looks and everything. I had this beautiful red wig, and y'all really need to look at this video. It's pretty
I know,
fierce. Yeah,
clearly.
it's high budget, honey. It's high budget, sweetie.
Only the best. Well, we have had so much fun chatting with you today, Jujubee. It's been a dream for us. We do like to end with a dose of drama. Just a little something to leave the listeners with. It could be a recommendation, a rant, a rave, anything like that. Connor, do you want to kick us off?
I do. I'm feeling dramatic about something. You know, everyone's talking about the best lead actress Tony race this year. It's a big year for leading performances. We've got Audra and Gypsy. We've got Nicole and Sunset Boulevard. And again, we're just guessing that these are the nominees, people in the race. Let me advocate for Megan Hilty in Death Becomes Her.
I was just gonna say
Star. Yeah, star. She's everything. She gets to be funny. She's campy. She's doing so much choreo. The vocals are insane. She really delivers. I think she's one of the best we have.
that.
One of the best we have.
I
This
think
could be the nominee.
you just called it out, and I think it's gonna go to her, but I don't know. What do I know? What do I know?
Well, it's so early. It's so early. But I don't know. I'm feeling like we can't count her out. She's amazing.
Yeah, she
She's
really
amazing.
is amazing.
Dylan, do you have a little dose of drama?
I do have a dose of drama for today. And it's actually, you mentioned this earlier about Black Friday. I don't know if
Oh.
you're, are you a big online shopper, Jujubee?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if you got took advantage of a lot of the Black Friday deals, but it's so hard to determine if you should buy things on Black Friday or Cyber Monday. What is going to be the better deal? It's to me, it's like then all of a sudden I'll get an email. Like I'll buy something on Black Friday and then I'll get an email from the same company on Monday. And suddenly it's 50% off as opposed to 40% off. And it's very frustrating. Don't betray me as a loyal buyer for buying early. In fact, reward me with the bigger discount for buying early. Do the lesser discount later. And also with Black Friday, it's not just a Friday. It started weeks before in the
I
stores. I was in
know.
Macy's like days before. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I feel like I need to be doing all my shopping now. And I don't know. I kind of miss the only the one day lining up, not that we ever really lined up for anything, but going on that
But
day and yeah.
still, it felt like such a fun event. Or not fun, but
Yeah. But anyways, bring back Black Friday for real. That's where I'm at with my dose of drama.
period.
Like the Tickle Me Elmo Black Friday.
Oh yeah. Oh
Yeah.
yeah. Oh yeah. I want there to be riots. I want,
Oh my.
Right?
Yeah.
Stampedes at Walmart. People
Right.
died.
People died.
They actually did, I believe.
Yeah, they actually did. Like Derek could talk about this. Derek Barry could talk
Yeah.
about this when it would be true.
It would be true this time.
People died.
Yeah. I love that you're like, you know, all the Drag Race memes and quotes that are popular. Like, you do you.
Well, I've only learned a lot of this stuff because l I have Lux here and Jan here, and they are the encyclopedia
Yeah.
of Drag Race. It's like even the nichest things.
Oh, that's fun.
I only know like the things that are super popular online because you can't avoid them. They just
Yeah.
keep popping up.
Yeah. Do you still watch the show?
I do.
Did you watch the UK one?
I didn't watch the UK one, but I did peer over Alaska watching it because
Yes.
Alaska watches it.
For
She
her
does.
podcast, she talks about how it's on in the dressing room sometimes.
Oh yeah. I'm the old lady that's like, which one's it? I hear this season is great. It
So
just
good.
ended, right?
It just ended.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. It was so good. And Rue was having a blast. A
Yeah.
blast. It was really amazing
It was a
hosting.
treat.
It was a great season.
Yeah.
What would you say your dose of drama is, Jujubee?
I always talk about this. It's not just slow walkers. It's the people who back up like sideways into you as you're walking. Do you know what I'm talking
Oh
about?
yeah, I know it.
And I know that the world doesn't revolve around me, but if you're on a sidewalk, don't back up. And if you're filming like content for yourself, I'm totally fine with that. Don't back up
Right.
because people are walking. There's a lot of videos out there of like New Yorkers just trying to get somewhere and people just backing up into them. And New Yorkers, I find, are just really honest and blunt, and they don't give a shit if they're upsetting you. They'll just do it. And I kind of enjoy that because it keeps me on my toes, and I'll never back up into somebody's space. It's that. It's
Yeah.
that. And I'll get over it. I'll get
Well,
over it.
you're becoming a New Yorker more and more, but you've already had this East Coast in your blood. So this is only being exacerbated by living in New
Oh.
York now. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And I'm going to give you a second dose of drama.
Oh.
This happened to me a couple weeks ago. Somebody pretended to bump into me and then claimed that I broke their glasses. And
Oh.
I know, and I know this scam. So I flipped out on him, and then he started tearing up, and I was like, get the fuck away from me.
Good for you.
But I think he thought that I was a tourist, or maybe he looked at me and saw that I just didn't look like I belonged here, and he felt like he was going to take advantage of me. But those people.
It's a whole scheme.
It's crazy. That happened to me. Someone
Yeah.
walked by me. They were holding like a big bag of food. They shoulder checked me, dropped their food everywhere, and then they were like, "You need to buy me more food. This is crazy. You just all over." And I was like, "Hang on a second. I know I didn't bump into you. You like..."
It
Anyway,
was scary
it
because he
was
got
actually
angry.
scary. He
So
got really
we
mad.
needed you, Juju,
Yeah. I
to
need you. Oh my gosh.
tell him
I
off. became such a tigress.
Oh, always bringing it back. Always bringing it back. Well, everyone needs to see you as the Tigress. 8 shows a week in New World Stages in Drag the Musical. Maybe sometimes it's Kitty Galloway. I know that it is worth the price of admission. Everyone needs to check it out.
Yeah, and I'm here until April, so I think our tickets are being sold until the end of
Okay.
March. So you've got time, but come in,
Yeah.
come see
Ooh,
us.
yeah. Love it. Thank you so much for joining us for this chat. We've been fans for years and we just love you more and more and more every single time. And you're just as lovely as you are talented. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me,
Yay.
girls.
Yes. Now, where can everyone find you online if they want to follow all the glamour?
What's that new one? Is it Blue Sky?
Blue
Blue Sky.
Sky.
Okay, so I have a sensible 74 followers on there. So find me. It's official Jujubee, but Instagram is one of my favorite social media thingies, and it's Jujubee online there.
Perfect. And while everyone's following Jujubee, they got to follow us. We're at the Drama Podcast. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Connor's at Connor McDowell. Thank you again, Jujubee. You are a delight.
Thank you.
And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.
Drama.